Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll reread a portion of our gospel for this morning's sermon text. They brought the colt to Jesus. They threw their robes on the colt and set Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their robes on the road. As he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace on earth and glory in the highest." This is the word of God. Dear friends, what would it be like to meet God? Now we know that God is holy. God is eternal. God does not tolerate sin. Instead, he loathes it. And every time in the Old Testament, when God appears, terror ensues. That's what happened when God came on the scene back in the old days, before Jesus was on the scene, before the first advent of our Lord. I'll give you some examples from the ancient prophets as they foretold the coming of the Lord in many ways. In Amos, the Lord roars like a lion from Zion, so that shepherds' pastures dry up and the top of Mount Carmel, famously fertile, withers. In the book of Zephaniah, we're told about the day of wrath, a day of trouble, a day of distress, devastation, destruction, a day of cloudy gloom. In the book of Micah, mountains melt beneath the feet of the Lord, and valleys pour away as if wax next to the fire, as if streaming down from mountains. The Lord crashes carved images in the same book in Micah. He consumes currency. He hurls stones and he incinerates gold and silver. Then in Haggai, the Lord promises to shake the heavens and the earth. And he promises to shake the nations before his coming. So we shouldn't be too surprised when God's people aren't sure what to expect when the Messiah arrives on the scene. But when our long-awaited Lord did show up, when he did come, when he did draw near, he hid his glory and his power. He humbled himself so that sinners would be drawn to him. He doesn't come on a great steed like Alexander the Great, or on a prancing pony like Napoleon, or on giant, grandiose elephants like Hannibal of Carthage. He doesn't come in natural disasters or unnatural disasters. Instead, when the Lord comes near, he humbles himself. We take a look at that Palm Sunday. Normally, that's what we're accustomed to reading this text, this gospel on, is Palm Sunday. But long ago, this was the first Sunday of the church year when we have Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Think about how Jesus walked and then rode into the city, how he was placed on this mule and her colt and was brought in. He could have claimed so much. He could have claimed horse and chariot. He could have claimed mountain and valley. He could have claimed flame and flood. But instead, he claimed the colt. Instead of the devastation and the darkness, the people's garments were given up to him. And they picked branches from the roadside to lay down before him. And they offered their hosannas And that's what our Lord claimed. This is significant when the Lord comes. For that is the beauty when our Lord comes near. His humility is the reason for their hosannas. Think about that. If he had come with terror and majesty, destruction, devastation, melting mountains and drying up valleys, then would the response really be hosannas, songs of praise, joy, and clamor like we see in the tumult on that holy Sunday? The Almighty King came so humbly so that it would result in the spontaneous praise of his people. He swayed the multitude. He won their homage and their joy. Not only that, he silenced his enemies, but he didn't do it by taking up arms or by force. Instead, he did it with his words of rebuke and his words of encouragement, so that even out of the lips of children, he ordained praise. And that's how he stirs the praise of his subjects. I love the way that Luke lays down the history here. Matthew and Mark don't say it quite this way. There must have been different voices shouting different things. Sure, in all three of them, there is that quotation from Psalm 118 where it says, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." That's a messianic psalm, by the way. The people recognized this person coming in, although humble, was special, was royal, and was the Messiah. But the next line, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." That's not what Matthew and Mark write down. So I'm very glad we're looking at Luke this year in anticipation of Christmas, because those words more closely echo the words of the angels back in chapter 2 of Luke. Did you hear that? "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Sure, the angels sang from heaven to earth, "Peace on earth." Now we've got the people saying "peace in heaven," proclaiming the right relationship between a Savior and his people on earth. So that even in the heavenly realm, the people of God who trust in him have their record wiped clean. In fact, their record is full of all the perfect acts and justification of Jesus Christ, their Lord. And then, glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. I'm not sure if that's the highest notes, the loudest. The highest is in the loudest strains. Or if it's simply people saying Jesus is the most majestic, even though he shrouds himself in humility today. So it's no wonder that we approach a season when the angels over Bethlehem's plains say, "Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord." At that first Christmas, a few acknowledged him as king. In his triumphal entry today, many more made the acknowledgement at his second coming, when he returns at the end of time, every knee will bow. All will pay homage to this Creator, whether in faith and joy or in unbelief and despair. All we are and have belongs to the Lord. The sheer fact that he comes humbly stirs praise in our hearts. Now, over the past church year, we may have hardened our hearts to the law of God. We may have been lazy and slothful in our eternal souls this last year and caring for us ourselves spiritually. We may have cast all caution to the wind, because honestly, when it comes to sin, the Lord may finally just flush us all down anyway. And everything is headed down the drain. Why try to make peace now? Have you made your heart so hard? And then, when you realize there's no stopping his coming, you may ask yourself, will he now come in terror for the things that I've done wrong? The thought may frighten you. Maybe the Lord will come in terror for those words that I spoke to my daughter, to my family on Thanksgiving. Will the Lord come in terror for the lies that I told my spouse? Will the Lord come in terror for the homework that I didn't study and the tests that I really didn't apply myself? Will the Lord come in terror for my sins? This year, this church year, trust that the Lord wants to set the tone. This year, instead of coming in terror, the Lord promises to come in grace. And messages of promise. Every Sunday, as the Lord allows, we are going to hear of the Lord's grace. He's going to come to us again and again. Not in terrifying catastrophe and disaster. He'll come to us in promises and remembrance of our baptisms. He'll come to new ones in water. He'll come to us in bread and wine. He'll come to us in the simple. He'll come to us in the Word over and over again to open our hearts. It's hard not to think about stony hearts when Jesus refers to the stones. After his enemies say, "Rebuke your disciples," Jesus says, "Actually, I'm holding back all of nature. Even the stones are ready to jump out with joy." But instead of that, the Lord has brought joy and stirred up stony hearts to be now hearts of flesh who appeal to their Lord, who comes in grace, who comes in mercy, who comes with love, who comes to you day in and day out, who comes in the means of grace, who meets you here, who meets you in your homes, who meets you in words of forgiveness. When the Lord draws near, he comes humbly so that your heart may be stirred. In Jesus, amen. Please stand.